RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Time for the Wilms Report. Tim Wilms beaming in from the unshackled.net, Melbourne, Australia, on his birthday. Happy birthday, Tim. How are you?
Thank you, Paul. I am very good today. Thank you for asking. I've turned 35.
Okay, so I'm almost twice as old as you, but I still feel young.
That's the important thing. I mean, Donald Trump is returning to the White House and, he had a great old time at the UFC on the weekend. So
yeah, I saw that. He's got plenty of energy. He should be worn out.
So your prime might be yet to come.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, happy birthday. Hope you have a great day.
Well, another reason why I'm in a good mood today, because at least for this week, we're no longer the biggest laughing stock in the world. That title belongs to your nation, the Maori Party's cringe haka to disrupt the treaty principles first reading vote. Even though I don't like Andrew Tate that much, I think he summed it up well.
Oh, I haven't seen the Andrew Tate response. I've seen the Matt Walsh response, and I've seen plenty of people weighing in. What's Andrew Tate been saying? Curious.
So he called the haka cringe and gay. Shocking trial. So
yeah,
his full post. So he said, the haka is gay. Sorry, New Zealand. All that screaming and dancing just to get owned by gunpowder. Waka, rata, ria, ria, boom, dead.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, there's a little more to it than that. But, yeah, it certainly had a ripple around the world and plenty of people have been weighing in. Have I been surprised? Yeah, I've been kind of surprised.
Well, the All Blacks, they perform it before every test match. And it's always seemed, I thought, that the Wallabies, they're just supposed to stand there and cop this war dance from the All Blacks. They're just supposed to sit there and take it. That hardly seems like it's fair.
If anyone tries to parody it, and that's happened a few times, they get all hurt and sensitive. So,
there's lots of it. Now, we've only got one embarrassing politician in our federal parliament. Well, I should say super embarrassing, Thorpe, who, of course, disrupted King Charles's visit to Parliament House. She has been censured by the Senate this week, and she, at a press conference, tore up the censure motion. I think she was
copycat of that
young Maori MP, that whippersnapper who they keep promoting. I thought for a moment she was maybe going to eat it. That's sort of where I thought it was going. But it's a new tactic to disrupt democracy, that because we don't like a vote coming on, we're going to just yell and scream and get the parliament shut down in the name of culture.
It's theatre because they know, everybody knows it's going to get out there, it's going to have a certain look, people are going to watch it, comment on it, and whether it's a good or bad comment, it's still profile raising, big time.
Yeah, and the fact that they disrupt shutting down parliament against a bill to treat all races in New Zealand equally.
Yeah, I know it's hard to explain. There's a lot of history there, but that's kind of what it looks like to a lot of people.
Yes, they're overrepresented, the Maori Party and the Parliament. So that's why you're stuck with six of them. We've only got one in Lydia Thorpe who carries on like that in the Parliament.
Well, every now and then we like to think we can punch above our weight, Tim, and I think we've punched above our weight again here.
Yes, that's one way of looking at it.
All right. Morons on the streets of Melbourne, disruption. Who's causing it? What's going on?
They're not just in our parliament, morons, but they're on our streets because, Christmas is just around the corner. And so the pro-Palestine activists, last year they disrupted carols by candlelight in Melbourne on Christmas Eve. So their justification was, you're worried about your carols, why there's a genocide going on in Gaza. That's how they justify all of their disruption. And the plan was they were called a breakout group. So they called themselves disrupt wars. So their spokeswoman, Amy, who said she didn't celebrate Christmas because she's a Muslim, does that mean that she's going to lead disruption of Muslim religious festivals because there's a genocide going on in Gaza? So, the Maya Christmas windows, it's a sweet Melbourne Christmas tradition. A shop in the Melbourne CBD, the Bourke Street Mall, they have these Christmas windows every year. Families go with their children to go and see them. For example, there's a Bluey-themed window. Their spokeswoman, Amy, said, "There is no joy in genocide. We are seeking to interrupt the fun and joy Maya wants us to share. We are not seeking to bring bombs and murder children in Bourke Street Mall. We're seeking to raise banners, play music and blow bubbles. I think there's a lot of people that actually don't know how involved we are in this genocide. We want to interrupt the media spectacle and economic gain sought by Maya." The fact that they say that they want to interrupt fun and joy, are they planning to disrupt as many Christmas events as they can to bring as much misery as they can, which, of course, will not stop the war between Israel and Hamas. I'm pro-peace, but it's never crossed my mind. You know what I'm going to do to achieve peace? I'm going to disrupt a Christmas window and make children cry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, not the greatest strategy if you want to.
So they decided to back down after there was a ferocious backlash. Jacinta Allen, the Premier, she had a strongly worded X message that she was furious that a small group of people had chosen to politicise a beautiful event for our children. "I am just as mad as all the others who have quietly stoked this division and egged them on." And so she's promised that she's going to introduce a new strong set of social cohesion laws to wind back this culture of division and vilification and hate. So I don't know what these are. She appeared at a press conference last Friday with all the different faith leaders. So this is in addition to her government's proposed anti-vilification expansion.
Is she an atheist? Tim, is she an atheist this one?
I'm not sure. There was a article in The Age this week about how there's division amongst the religious leaders about these expansion of the vilification laws. The Jewish groups are, of course, in favour of strengthening them. The Muslim community is a bit divided. The Australian Christian Lobby and the Archbishop of Melbourne is against. They believe it would infringe on practising their faith biblical teachings. And also the various women's rights turf groups, they're obviously quite alarmed that it could lead to them being prosecuted or litigated against. Now, this process goes back to 2019, where Fiona Patten, former Sex Party and Reason Party that's what her party was originally called. Then it was changed to the Reason Party.
The policy lineup for the sex party?
It was for deregulation of the sex industry in Victoria. Okay. Prostitution is completely legal in Victoria. Though she didn't achieve legalized cannabis in Victoria. So she's running for legalized cannabis at the next federal election for the Senate. So she described objections to these new laws as bullshit and said that they were needed to give women, girls, people living with disabilities and LGBTQI people overdue protection from abuse.
What about men?
Well,
to abuse us, is it?
Well, there was no consequence for Clementine Ford for her kill all men tweet back in the day, but she just said she was being ironic, hyperbolic.
Okay, all right. Yeah, and now she was.
Maya ended up cancelling the unveiling of the My Christmas windows. Oh, they were unveiled, but there was no fanfare. Sad. But there was about eight pro-Palestine activists who showed up calling themselves appropriately morons for Palestine.
One was wearing
a police uniform with Joker clown makeup there. I wonder whether these were serious activists or they were just trying to sort of performative to take the piss.
Street artists.
Yeah.
With not much to do.
Yes, but Victoria Police, they said that, we'd pleaded with them, but we were powerless to stop them.
Pleaded.
And yes, well, they're currently undertaking industrial action because they're wanting a pay rise from the Allen government, and they've got industrial action messages written on police vehicles which said, learn self-defense instead of calling the police. It's basically what goes around comes around. I mean, they did all of Dan Andrews' dirty work during the COVID lockdowns. How come they weren't going to meet these morons for Palestine with rubber bullets?
They don't deserve a pay rise, is what you're saying. They don't deserve one.
Well, the fact that they've also lost a lot of people from Victoria Police, there's been a massive exodus it's not like they got a reward from the Andrews Allen government for doing all their dirty work during COVID.
Oh, well, that might make them even more militant to know that.
Because the state is broke. It's been revealed that Tim Pallas, the treasurer, has been paying for the big build with some sort of super credit card. Oh, I didn't know such a thing existed in
government. Is that the one on from Platinum?
Yes.
Tritium or something.
Yeah, so it's all happening here in Victoria, as always.
Where it's all happening, that sounds like a good line for tourist commercials. Okay, Alan Jones, arrested and charged. He's 83 years old. Some will know what this is about, but fill us in.
Yes, so last December, Kate McClymont, who is a well-respected investigative journalist with the Sydney Morning Herald, she's certainly not an activist, published allegations of sexual fondling and groping against Alan Jones by several men, one who worked at the radio station he worked at, 2GB. One was a young man that he was mentoring, and one was a random waiter in a restaurant. So there had long been rumours about Alan Jones' sexuality and whether he'd touched young men. So those rumours had circulated for years. But in the unauthorised biography of Alan Jones, published by Chris Masters in 2006, he never found a smoking gun. But he's had quite the career, first as a school teacher, then as a coach of the Wallabies. He was a speechwriter for former Liberal Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser, even had a stint in musical theatre as Franklin Roosevelt in the musical Annie. So he's done it all, but he's been a lifelong bachelor. It was quite explosive when Kate McClymont published this, and Jones's lawyers said at the time that these were defamatory, that they'd launched legal action. We don't know if that's happened, but Alan Jones has not been seen on the air on his current platform, which is Australian Digital Holdings. So he was the lead presenter on that since it was founded at the end of 2021. He is 83. He's been in severe back pain for many years. He's been seen at a few reunions this year, but not on the airwaves, or should I say optic fibre.
Yeah, waves. Yeah, yeah.
As it's a streaming service, Australian Digital Holdings.
Mind you, he is 83. I don't know. I know there have been rumours about him for ages, but also he was pretty anti-climate hysteria, and that would have made him a target for cancelling or for people
There's been all sorts of scandals that have besieged him for things that he said. What he said about your former Prime Minister Jacinta Ardern, that he hopes Scott Morrison will be fully briefed to shove a sock down her throat.
Yeah, that didn't go down too well at the time, but maybe that might not age so badly. But But the police are investigating, right? The police.
Well, he's been now being formally charged with 24 offences against eight victims, young men, the youngest being 17. So that's 11 counts of aggravated indecent assault and nine counts of assault with act of indecency, two counts of sexually touch another person without consent, two counts of common assault and a count of victim under authority of offender.
So maybe you had it in there, anyone underage?
Some are like in their late teens or early 20s. The youngest, as I just mentioned, is 17.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, there was one that might be the one that goes all the way back to 1965 when he was a teacher at Brisbane.
It's a long way back, isn't it?
Grammar school. So, yes, there's been a media frenzy outside his home and the police station where he was being held. He's been released on conditional bail and he'll return to court on December 18. So I'm sure that the frenzy has just begun.
Okay, 5 minutes left. Let's look at the misinformation bill. Do you have an update on that for us?
Yes, it looks like it won't get through the Senate, which is excellent news. So the killer blow to it was amazingly Jackie Lambie, who famously
from Tasmania. From Tasmania.
Yeah, who funny, said crazy that she wanted Elon Musk to be imprisoned. Yeah. Copped a lot of strongly worded feedback. Her party, state party, has collapsed. The ones who were elected at the recent Tasmanian election have left the party. So I think she's sort of feeling the pressure. Fatima Payman, the ex-Labor senator who quit over the Palestine issue, the Afghan refugee, she's voting against it. David Pocock, the Teal independent from Canberra, also voting against it. Obviously, the coalition is. We don't know. The Greens abstained in the House of Representatives. But there's enough of the crossbench who've said no now. So that's one bill killed. But the other one that looks like it'll sail through is, of course, the social media ban for under 16.
That's the one they really want to get through. Everything comes from that. They can get back to the other thing later on.
Yes, digital ID by stealth. Yeah. It's a Trojan horse in the name of protecting the children. Yeah, the Liberal Party and opposition leader Peter Dutton, he's all for it. He posted on X yesterday, parents are rightly concerned about social media's impacts on kids' mental health and development. That's why the coalition backs age limits and privacy-protecting age verification. These protections for kids shouldn't be confused with Labor's harmful misinformation bill, which threatens free speech. They are entirely separate issues. And he finished off by saying we can protect kids online without sacrificing free speech. In a digital world, we must protect free speech and safeguard our children, the future of our democracy. So we need both. Misinformation bill bad. We need to protect democracy, but banning children from social media is to protect democracy as well.
Whenever they say it's about protecting democracy, you know it's not about
usually protecting the children. Ex-Liberal and Conservative Senator Cory Bernardi summed it up well. He said if they're really interested in protecting children from harm, they'd ban them from slicing off their genitals.
Yeah, good point. All right, and the short time we have left, Rudd on Trump. Poor old Rudd, he's said stuff that just hasn't aged well. Oh, my God.
Yes, which has been rebroadcast. So he called Trump incoherent and called him a village idiot. So now the Liberal opposition, they are backing in Kevin Rudd because they don't want to be seen as undermining Australia's interest over in the United States.
How could they be undermining the interest? It's already undermined. He'll get his ass kicked out of there, no doubt. And I saw an interview, Nigel Farage, with Donald Trump, and they talked about that. He's completely aware of it.
Yeah, so though Trump, he said, he did hint that there was a way forward. He said, I heard he was a little bit nasty in the past, but if he's at all hostile, he won't be around for very long, so...
Yeah,
okay. I think Trump is forgiven people who've called him all sorts of names in the past. So, I think Trump likes a convert. I don't think Rudd's going to become basically MAGA.
No, but it shows you who can suffer the TDS, and it can be anyone. Okay, spears have been thrown. What does this mean?
Yes, so in the Northern Territory, in the remote community of Numbulwa, Aborigines have thrown spears at each other, which I guess it proves that the late Prince Philip was right when he asked an Indigenous man on a visit to Australia, do you still throw spears at each other? It was proof of his old school racism. Well,
they actually do. Yeah.
Yes. So it reminds me, we were talking about the Haka at the beginning, Adam Goods, ex-AFL footballer, he tried to create an Aboriginal war dance which threw a metaphorical spear into the crowd. That certainly wasn't well received. He became the Australian of the Year for calling a 14-year-old girl at a football match the face of Australian racism for calling him an ape.
Ooh, okay. That probably won't age well either. Depending on how long. All right, let's end on some sport, cricket.
Yes.
And the test with India. What's happened here?
Yes, so the cricket media, they're obviously wanting to capitalise on the fact that there is now a huge Indian diaspora in Australia. And so the News Corp front pages last Tuesday, so the Herald Sun, the Daily Telegraph, had Indian Cricket Summer Guide, a joint English-Hindi front page, and had an ad for our national broadband network exclusively in Hindi. They clearly are hoping for a sellout for the Boxing Day test at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Obviously, there's been in Canada ethnic tensions between Hindus and Sikhs. There. So it's not all just cricket, curries and Bollywood. The Victorian government, this week renamed a lake in Berwick in the southeast after the founder of Sikhism. So there might some Hindus who might not like that as well. So Australian cricket's been courting the Hindi dollar for years. Brett Lee has done songs and movies in India and was a sex symbol for Indian women. So it was quite a sort of confronting front page for those who are concerned about the mass demographic change that's occurring into Australia.
Oh, I got that. All right, Tim, plenty happening there. Thank you so much for reporting in. Look forward to next week.
Thank you, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.